Welcome to the third sermon in our sermon series entitled, I Choose, Deciding Our Values for Life. Today's sermon title, Valuing Family. Open your Bible to Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 33, and let's begin.
O Lord, you are the God of family. You established families as the foundation of all culture. Please teach us to value our families. Guide us to express this value in a willingness to yield to each other, in a commitment to love, in the work of nurturing and cherishing each other, and in the empowering experience of respect. Please bless our veterans and their families. In Christ's name, amen. Archaeologists have recently been excavating a site in Syria. And during the excavation, they uncovered this little footprint. The scholars estimate that this is a footprint of a 2-year-old girl. We know her name. We know her dad and mom's name. We know it because this footprint is part of a contract. Her dad's name is Zadama. Her dad's name was Zadama, and her mom's name was Kue. And the little 2-year-old girl's name was Balabia. And this little footprint dates to about 1,200 years before Christ. I told you it was part of a contract. Her mom and dad sold her. And this is the contract of the sale. That little footprint there was a 2-year-old girl that her mom and dad sold because there was something in the world they valued more than her. I wish that was the whole story. I wish that was the whole article. It isn't. She had 2 little brothers, and the mom and dad sold them too. The archaeologists guess that these children probably grew up as house slaves in the family that their parents sold them into. And I hope something in you is appalled. I hope something in you is shocked. What in the world could parents want and value more than 3 precious little kids? Well, the contract doesn't say what they wanted, but it says whatever they wanted it enough to sell their children to get it. What if I were to say, it's against the law to sell our children in America? You can't sell your kids for money. But every day, parents sell their kids out. They sell them out. How does that happen? Well, it happens in a lot of ways. For example, mom and dad develop a resentment. And then the resentment is so powerful that it overwhelms the rest of the family dynamics. And the kids grow up in a home that is characterized by resentment and not love. You just sold your kids out so you could hold on to your petty resentment. You see it? We sell out our kids because somehow or another, we're so busy at work that we don't have time for them when they most need us. And we sell them out for a few more hours at work, for a few more dollars to do God only knows what with that isn't nearly as valuable as that brief little flicker of time we get with our kids. We sell our kids out for our leisure. Just too busy for the kid to get the attention that they need in the moment. Church, we're doing a series on values, and I want to talk to you this morning about how valuable your family is. And if you value your family, how we need to express that value. And I want to begin with saying, all family values begin with how husbands and wives treat each other. Because the way we treat each other is the way we treat our children, what we value. If I treat my wife in a way that shows I value her, I'm teaching my children family values. If I treat her in a way that shows my children I don't value her, no matter what I say, they learn that I don't really value my family. I want to make a big point. I hear all the time about the government and family values. Family values isn't the government's job. I want to start right out. Family values is not the government's job. It's the family's job. The government can't teach my family that I value them. I teach them that no matter what the government is doing. Can we agree on that? Family values isn't the school's job. They've had their hands full getting the little minions to read, write, and do arithmetic. Family values is not the school's job. It's my job. And if I do my job and live out my value for my family, what the government does and what the school does can never overwhelm that. If I don't do my job, what the government does and the school does won't make any difference anyway. Family values are learned by how husbands and wives treat each other at home. Church. And the New Testament makes a big deal about this. In Paul's letters, he goes out of his way to talk again about the importance of family. In his letter to the Ephesians, he says, wives, submit to your husbands, your own husbands, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. I want to remind you that values determine where we give our best efforts. If I value my family, I'm giving my best effort to my family. Husbands and wives teach family values by how they treat each other. And in this verse, there is a spirit of cooperation. This verse is not about tyranny. Do you get it? Look, brother, if you have to say to your wife, the Bible says submit to me, you've already lost. If the only card you have to play is shaking your Bible at them, you've already lost. This isn't about one partner dominating another partner. This is about a spirit of cooperation. I show I value my family when I express a spirit of cooperation. And without that spirit of cooperation, I'm showing that my family is a tool that helps me get what I want in life. It's not really a group of people that I value. I'd like you to know that in the original Greek text, the word doesn't say, wives, submit to your husbands. The word submit is not in there. It just says, wives to your husbands. The verse before 22 is verse 21, and verse 21 says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So verse 21 says that there should be a mutual submitting to each other. There are some things I submit to my wife on. There are some things she submits to me on. We have a mutual submitting. And then we have areas that we can't ever figure out and we're never going to figure out. After 46 years, it's just going to have to continue being a mystery. I found out the biggest mystery of marriage is, where are we going to eat? What do you want to eat? When you don't have any kids at home and... Huh? What do you want? I don't know. What do you want? I say, that's above my pay grade. I submit to you in that. A church. I show my value for my family when I say I value this family enough that I don't have to have my own way all the time. If you have to have your own way all the time, you've got a family value problem. Do you get it? When you really value something, you acknowledge that you can't have your own way every time. And really, your mom probably taught you that when you were in second grade. Took my mom till sixth grade to get me to learn it. But some of us are a little slower. So, here's what Paul is teaching. If you really value your family, it expresses itself in a spirit of cooperation. Excuse me. When our children see us cooperating, they see a family value in action. When they see us not willing to cooperate and having friction about every little thing and always insisting on our own way, they see a lack of family values no matter what we say. Church. This is a yielding of love. It is not a bowing to tyranny. This is, I value my family and it's worth me compromising on this. It's not a bowing to tyranny. I'm in charge. How does Christ submit to the church? How does the church submit to Christ? How does the church yield to Christ? I've been a Christian my whole life, and I've never found Christ to be a tyrant. I found the church to be a bit tyrannical from time to time, but I've never found Christ to be tyrannical. You see, it's easy to yield to Christ when I think about how much he really cares for me. When I really think what Christ has done that shows he cares for me, it's easy to yield to him. I feel his care. And it's easy for me to say, I want to cooperate with you. Hey, church, when we feel each other's care at home, it's easy to cooperate. It gets hard to cooperate when the sense of caring is lost. How does the church yield to Christ? We yield to his grace. We start seeing that he has consistently treated us better than what we deserve. And it's easy to yield to that. When we're gracious to each other at home and we're practicing treating each other better than what we deserve, it becomes easy to yield to each other. Where there's no grace, yielding becomes almost impossible. And then the Bible talks about walking in a relationship with Christ. If we abide in him and his words abide in us. This is the idea that it's easy to yield to someone that you feel very connected to and safe with. It's harder to yield to someone you feel disconnected and unsafe. I express a family value. I teach my kids a family value when I develop a relationship with my spouse that is so close that we feel safe and comfortably yielding to each other. And then we model that to our kids. Our kids feel safe and willing to yield to us because we've modeled it for them. Instead of not safe, self-protective, angry, and rebellious. Can you hear me, church? It's getting kind of quiet in here. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. The husband and the wife teach family values by how they treat each other. And in these verses, we see the family value of unselfish love. Have an unselfish love for each other. What does unselfish love look like in our families? Well, it looks like service. Is the service in your family one-sided? One person does all the service, the other person gets all the service? That's not healthy, church. It's not healthy. And the reason it isn't healthy is because it models a wrong kind of love for our kids. If your kids see one person getting all the service and another person never being served, that clicks in their head. And they don't see that as innately right. They see that as, oh, that's how it works in this family. One person gets all the service, the other person does all the serving. What does family values look like? Unselfish love look like in a family? It looks like speaking the truth in love. I want both sides of this. One is speaking the truth and the other is doing it in a loving way. You show you love your family when you're willing to speak the truth to your family. When you're willing to say, that hurt my feelings. I'm not comfortable with that. I had hoped for something different. You're speaking the truth. You're not bagging everything and developing resentments. But you're also speaking the truth in love. You're not criticizing, belittling, and having angry tantrums. Do you hear this, church? When I speak the truth in love, I'm modeling family values for my kids. What does loving your family look like? sharing your best self. Church, you got to save some of your best self for your family. Your family deserves some of your best self. If you spend your best self all at work, you're saying to your family, I value my job more than you. If you give your best self to your hobby, you're saying to your family, I value my hobby more than you. Do you see? If where you give your best self, you are expressing your values. I want to say love counts the most when it requires the most. Do you get it? There are times that it's really, really easy for me to love my wife. And then there are times that I got to do my very best to love her. There are times that it's easy for her to love me. And there are times when she's got to go way over the line to keep loving the knucklehead. Church. But listen, listen. Love counts the most when it costs the most. When love really cost me something, my family sees me living out my value. I must really love this family. Look what it cost. And I'm not just talking about money, I'm talking about effort and time and emotion and all these things. This verse says that the way Christ loved the church is a model for how we should love our families. So how did Christ love the church? Well, this verse says he gave himself for it. Christ models self-sacrificing love. Now, I want to ask all of us to ask ourselves, you ask yourself this question. This week, in what way did I show self-sacrificing love to my family? I sacrificed something as an expression of my love for my family. I sacrificed my comfort. I sacrificed extra effort. I entered into a sorrow. I mean, in what way did you show self-sacrificing love to your family this week? Because when you do that, you're modeling that you value your family. And you value your family enough to make personal sacrifices. The verse also says that Christ loves sanctified. That means to set us apart and make special. Christ modeled a love that says, I'm going to love you in a way that makes you special. Does your family feel special because of the way you love them? Parents, I want to talk to you for a minute. I've heard this thing that you can't show preference for your own children. That's about the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I believe if you don't show preference for your children, you got a problem. They're your children. They need to feel that you prefer them to every other kid in the world. I want to be specific on something. If a dad coaches a team, boys or girls, a mom coaches a team, I don't care if your kid isn't the best player. You ought to play them. That team will come and go. They're your kid forever. And if the other kid's dad, if the other kid's dad isn't happy, let him coach a team. Let another mom coach a team. You show preference for your kids. They need to know beyond all doubt that you prefer them. Do you get it? They need to know that. They need to know that no matter what, in this world, you prefer them. And if you have to take a little slack because someone says your kid isn't the best, take it. They're worth it. Do you get it? I believe in showing preference is a preference for your children is an expression of family values. Of course you prefer them. Who came up with this knucklehead idea that you can't prefer your kids? A knucklehead, I guess. When I show my children that I prefer my wife to every other woman in the world, I'm teaching them the family value that we prefer each other. We favor each other. We've got each other's back. We look out for each other. We make each other special in the world. He loved us, Christ loved us with a nurturing love, a love that makes us better. How does your love make your family better? How do they become better people because you love them? A cherishing love. This is interesting. The word cherish is an odd word, isn't it? We don't use it much anymore. I can't remember the last time I said I cherished something. But cherish is, it's at this idea of, I have a high value for it. I have a high value for it. I'm going to tell you this story. For some reason, when my oldest daughter was five, I took her and had her ears pierced. You know, you go to the place, they have the little gun and they put little marks on their ears and they poke holes in their ears and the little earring stays in there and you put the stuff on it. Okay. So when my second daughter turned five, because I did my first daughter, I had to take her to get hers. So I have four daughters and I ended up taking all four of them to get their ears pierced. Well, then one of my daughters, she had a five-year-old daughter and said, "Hey, Dad." So this is my fourth granddaughter, and we went to get ears pierced. Now, you say, "Oh, no, it's not fun." They get there, and all of a sudden, they get panicky. Anybody? Anybody? They get there, and it sounds scary now. And now, they're sitting down, and now you're starting to see a little panic on their face. Anyone? And then if you have people who are really good at this, they don't horse around. They get with it and get it over with. If you don't, they putz around. The baby gets more frightened. They putz around a little more. And pretty soon the baby's going, "I don't want to do this anymore." Hey, dads or granddads, if you're going to do this, get both ears done at once. You can't do it one at a time. The first one, they're ruined. I would rather be going to look at ball gloves. I'd rather be going to pick out a baseball bat. But I tell you what, I cherish these little girls so much, I'd do it all over again. I would do it all over again. See, cherishing is something, it's a value that says, no matter what the hassle is, it's worth it. I'm going to do it. And then we went out for lunch, and I bought her ice cream, and half of it ended up on my arm. But the coat's washable, so. See, when we cherish someone, there is this sense that whatever the hassle is, it's worth it. Church? And then this verse says that we are to love each other as we love ourselves. That's kind of what Jesus taught, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. When I value my family, I'm willing to sacrifice for them. I'm willing to set them apart and say, "You're special. I favor you above others." I'm willing to love them in a way that makes them a better person. I cherish them by engaging in life activities that show my value for them. And I love them more than I love myself. And then Paul quoted the book of Genesis. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound. And I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see, that she respects her husband. These verses are about a team spirit. Listen to what it says. If you're going to value your family, you have to leave something so you can hold on to something. Valuing your family means there are things that you might have liked to have in your life, but you let them go so that you have the time, the energy, and the focus to hold on to your family. Church, there are no family values without being willing to leave something. You got to let go of something so you can hold on to something more valuable. And then it says, the two become one flesh. You become a team. Family is, we are a team, and we compete against whatever life brings us. My kids are all grown up now, but I won't let them off the team. I'm still on their team. I'm still there to do everything I can to make sure that they win in life. Church, I still want to treat their mom in a way that my kids know that we're a team. I don't have any trouble telling my kids, as much as I love them, that their mom comes first. Their mom comes first. That's the way team works, do you see? And I believe it raises their sense of security and well-being. Let me give you some practical ideas. Gary Chapman wrote a book called Love Languages. There are five of them. I believe with all my heart, if you value your family, you got to learn your spouse's love language. Here are the five love languages. Words of affirmation. That's my wife's love language. It feels like love to her when I say affirming things or write her affirming notes. Over the years I've written her affirming notes, I think she has every one of them. Look, you say that's an easy love language. It isn't, because you got to think, because if you're going to affirm somebody and you do it in a cheap way, they see it. And they go, this is cheesy. This doesn't count, dude. Weak. Weak. All right, the second love language is quality time. Some people, when you spend quality time with them, that's what feels like love. Receiving gifts. That's the easy one. Just go pick up a gift, right? The fourth one is acts of service. Some people really feel loved when someone serves them. And the fifth one is physical touch. So, I've told you this before. I think you don't just learn your spouse's love language, you got to learn your kids' love language. If you understand what feels like kid love to your children, you'll connect to them in a more profound way. At the core of family values is trust. Church, trust. You teach your kids to trust you by the trust that you model for them with your spouse. Do you get this? Hey, Dad, whether you know it or not, if your wife doesn't trust you, your kids won't trust you. Hey, mom, whether you know this or not, if your husband doesn't trust you, your kids won't trust you. They're going to be nice to you. But in their heart of hearts, if their spouse can't trust you, if your spouse can't trust you, your kids can't trust you. On the other hand, if your spouse can trust you, it's easier and easier for your kids to trust you. John Gottman has these five things to say about trust. Number one, make it a priority. It's easier to maintain trust than break it and rebuild it. Make trust a priority. Do the things that build trust in your relationship and avoid at all cost the things that damage trust in your relationship. Two, maximize your partner's well-being. If you are doing the things that make your partner's well-being go up, it'll be easy for them to trust you. If you don't care about their well-being, how can they trust you? Church? If you can go all week and not think once about their well-being, how are you building trust? On the other hand, if you get up every day and say, I'm going to do something today that makes my spouse have better well-being, your trust factor goes soaring up. Three, small positive moments that add up to deeper trust. I don't like this one. I want to do one big thing. One big day, just go all out on that day, and that counts for the next year. Okay, 6 months. It doesn't work that way, church. There's no one big thing. It's an everyday little thing where you are connecting to your spouse in a positive way, and trust goes up. Avoid negative comparisons. Brothers, you might as well jump off the bridge if you say you remind me of your mother. Just go jump off the bridge right there. Five. Focus on the best, not the worst. You build trust when your spouse sees you recognizing what is best in them instead of just complaining about what is worst. Church, now please listen to this. As I build trust with my spouse, I build trust with my kids. We become a trustworthy unit. As I lose trust with my spouse, I weaken trust with my kids. You see, there's more than one way to sell out your kids. You don't have to get money for them and a little contract. We can sell out our kids in much more subtle ways. I want to add one thing to this. Listen to what Paul says. When the family works right, people see Christ in the world better. The family, in some way, is an illustration of Christ's love for the church. The better your family works, the better your testimony for Christ. The more broken your family, the less influential your testimony of Christ. Get it? I don't care how pious you are. I don't care how religious you are. I don't care what rules you keep. If you're not displaying the love of Christ in your family, there's something wrong with your religion. That's what Paul is saying. On the other hand, he's saying, you may not be the most religious person in the world, but if you make your family work, you're saying something profound about the love of Christ in the world. I say we work harder at showing our value for our families. Can you say amen? Our dear Heavenly Father, I call upon your name in hope. I pray for myself and for all my brothers and sisters today. I pray that we could rethink our value for our family. And I pray that we could start planning to do the kind of things that show we value our family. I pray that our willingness to yield would be more apparent. I pray that our unselfish love would be more apparent. I pray that our team spirit would be more apparent. And I pray that as we get family right, we would be a better expression of Christ in the world. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.